Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the 27th chapter of Matthew with 66 verses, commentary. And also we have part 10 of regeneration. We have three letters from different parts of the world. But right now let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit, which is your outward anointing. It is the anointing to minister your word, to preach it and teach it, as it is directly from your word, and to expound it as you have given revelation unto your servant. Lord, open the ears, the spiritual ears, of the people out in the world and in the church, and open their spiritual eyes so that they'll be able to see and understand your truth, your word. Jesus, you are the word of God. That's why your word says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God, and thou shalt be saved. This means the whole word. And I'm saying this, Lord, because everyone in the world needs to hear this. So when a person says they believe in the Lord and they don't keep his commandments, then they're liars and the truth is not in them. Lord, we ask that you build up the inward part, the Holy Spirit that's in us, to grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ from your word, so that we have faith, at least the grain of mustard seed, which is the smallest seed in the world, but when it grows up, it becomes so large that the birds can nest in it, the birds of the air. And this means that the different things that we ask for are made available by our faith, even the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Lord, we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, now where's the first letter from, please?
From Jamaica, New York.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 3 weeks ago, I received a wonderful gift from God. It was your newsletter titled Earthquake. Since then, I have read a lot of your teachings. Pastor Alamo, they're like reading the Bible. Thank you, Pastor Alamo, for teaching the very truth from God's Word. I thank God through Jesus Christ by His Holy Spirit for you, and I thank you for being obedient to your calling. I ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me to all truth, and He led me to you. Praise God, I am now ready to help win souls for the Lord because of the truth God has blessed me with through you. I pray God's blessing on you and your family. Would you please send me a t-shirt and a sweatshirt, size extra large, white? Thank you, your sister in Christ, Geraldine Gilks.
All right, yeah, it seems like today, just as the Bible says, that there are a lot of people that have grown weary in well-doing. And many of the people that claim to be Christians have never done well at all. But the Word of God tells us that if we grow weary in well-doing after knowing the Lord, that he'll spew us out of his mouth, because we are to be zealous. And we're not to weary of being zealous. Because when we do, we become like salt that has lost its savor. And we're good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot by man and be run over by every evil thing on the face of this earth. So, you know, brothers and sisters out there, don't get weary, because the gospel is still true, and the Lord is still, his truth about coming back to earth again is still very true, and his word that says he'll spit us out of his body, out of his mouth, is still very true. And so you have to recognize these things. There's people in the church that a young man stated, well, he came into the church with his two daughters. He's got a double hernia, and he can't, he says, in one of the brothers' dorms, he just can't sleep too good because of the noise. In other words, he hears people opening the door and coming into the dorm when they get off watch or they go out on watch. We have watchmen. You know, we're living in perilous times, and we have little children in our church, and we, the Lord tells me to be diligent and vigilant and to watch. These are all commandments of the Lord, and so that's what I do, and I never get weary of telling people these things. And the Bible also states that we have to go through some fire when we get saved. And that a lot of times we're going to go through fire throughout the entire course of our Christian life. I know that I've, because of the gospel, putting out literature, preaching the gospel to the unsaved, I've been put in jail. Now, they let, over here in New Orleans, they've let all the criminals out on the street because they were afraid they were going to drown. And they slap a lot of criminals on the wrist for murder or all kinds of different crimes. Especially if you've got money, you could in a lot of places you can buy your way out of jail, but not a Christian. So the thing is that the Lord tells us that that this young man is murmuring and complaining about you that you can't sleep well at night. Well, when you're in, and I was placed in prison also on false charges from the Internal Revenue Service for the gospel's sake. All the finances that we make go into the ministry, and everybody here knows that, and people all over the world know that now because we distribute probably more literature than anybody, and it's all free of charge. But to have somebody that was living on welfare, and they come into the church, and we've given them a place to stay, and we were willing to take him down to Cedar Sinai Hospital, which is where all the movie stars are operated on for all sorts of different things, to get both of his hernias fixed and pay for it. Well, he said that he had to go back out into the streets and go to this pastor that loaned him $1,000 to pay him back. Well, I said, well, you know, I'll be spending a lot more than thousands of dollars on you, and I don't expect a penny back from you. If this pastor was of the Lord, he would have just willingly given it to you and trusted the Lord to repay him 100-fold. If he'd have done it that way, then he'd be getting $100,000 right back, because the Lord gives you 100 times. Amen?
Amen.
And besides the Lord, you don't really owe much to anybody in this world, but we owe our life to the Lord. He gave his life for us, and we're expected to surrender our entire life to him. Let's face it, who else out in the world is going to pay for your bills? He has 2 daughters. They didn't even have hardly any clothes at all, and I sent some sisters down the hill, and we do this to everybody, really, that comes in broke and just what they have on their back. And so they bought him a bunch of shoes and clothing, nice new things, and they were so happy. And now he says that he doesn't feel right, and he's because he can't sleep good. Because when you're in prison, my friend, you're in jail, you learn to sleep good. There's all kinds of talking going on and fights going on and knifings and stabbings. And all kinds of stuff. You know, you'd think that people would be, here a couple of brothers come in from watch and they just come in and then lay down and go to sleep. You'd think that people would not murmur and complain. They says, well, you know, like I've been to churches all over Los Angeles and, you know, I can go at home and live and do what I want to do. I said, yeah, that's right. And you can do that today. He said, here I feel like a prisoner, you know, because you know, you people live such a straight and narrow life here. And I said, well, the Bible says that we have to live a straight and narrow life. You know, because, you know, you have to be real narrow-minded to be a Christian. You just have to believe what the Lord says. Now, if you want to be a devil or you want to be of the world, your mind can be very broad. You know, there's all kinds of different things that you can do. You know, you can go to the movies, you can go here and there, but we can't do that. We can't. You can lie too, but, you know, Christians can't lie. We live a very Spartan lifestyle. The Lord takes care of us. We never worry about food or clothing or utilities or you know, our property payments and so on like this. You are either a prisoner of the Lord. Paul said, I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So you're either a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ or you're a prisoner of the world, of the devil. So you have to choose now who you're going to be the prisoner of. You cannot be in between. You're either a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ or you're a prisoner of Diablo, the devil. And if you're out there, I was telling this man that, you know, there's a place called 31 Flavors Ice Cream. I don't eat ice cream because the Lord told me not to take any dairy because there's something wrong with it, butter, cheese, and all that. Now, you probably get upset. Yeah, you can do whatever you want. I don't hold anybody prisoner at all. But I am a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, to show you that I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm talking to you. Because when I lived the broad life, I wouldn't have even spit on a person like you because I was a high roller. I lived very high. I've stayed at the best of hotels and had the best apartments and the best automobiles and everything. And I just, I was the one that started the 20 original hits you can't buy in the store, you got to call up on the phone. I made millions at that, and I could have anything I wanted. And would I give you, take your daughters in and you in? Oh, I wouldn't have been. But because of the fact that I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm doing what he says I must do if I want to go to heaven and stay out of hell. And that's very narrow for me. That's pretty narrow, you know, that I have to take people in, even those that murmur and complain and are not at all thankful of what the Lord has commanded me to do for them. Now, me, I wouldn't do any good thing for you at all in the natural. But because of the fact that the Lord, I am his prisoner, and I am his slave, I have to do what he says. And you better thank God that he's a good God and tells me to take care of poverty-stricken people like you and people like you that think for yourself rather than to use the Word of God for your thoughts. Okay, the Word of God, we're supposed to put on the mind of Christ, and that means we're to put on the entire Bible. We're to think the way God thinks. And so if you're worried about not getting enough sleep and you're so tired and so on like that because every 4 hours a couple of brothers come in off of a watch and they open the door, you know, you ought to move into the Waldorf Astoria, you know, where you can have your own private suite up there. I don't think you can afford it. As a matter of fact, I know you can't. And so there's all kinds of people like this in the world. They're unthankful. And they're lovers of themselves more than they are lovers of God. Because I love God. And therefore, a person that I wouldn't even spit on before I was saved, I'm sending your daughters to school, buying them new clothes and everything, and taking you down to Cedar Sinai Hospital where all the movie stars go, to get your stomach operated on, the two hernias, to get them shoved back up into your intestines, okay, and sewed up so that you're not hurting anymore. Yes, I will require, you're a tree surgeon or something, and I would like very much, there's some big branches growing over some of the different buildings over there, and I wouldn't mind it if after you get well, that you crawl up there and cut a branch or two off there so it doesn't crash through our roofs. But we all work. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. But I just can't understand a person that wants to leave someplace like that and send your soul to hell and your daughter's souls to hell just because you want to have the freedom to be able to do anything you want, to do your will. But the Bible says that we're to deny ourselves, to take up the cross and follow him. We're not supposed to live by our own will, but by the Word of God. And so I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there that are listening to me right now in Radio Land that you have the same opinion that this person has. And I will caution you that you need to love the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the Word of God, for Jesus is the Word. with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you do, then you're going to do what the Lord says. You're going to just find out what He wants you to do, and then you're going to do it. Now, after I got saved around 41 years ago, I decided to, I wanted to see, study world history to see how it coincides with the Bible. And if you study world history, that's a very good thing for everyone to study, because it shows you that everything that happened in the world is exactly in sequence with what the Bible says. That should build your faith up a lot, you know, because if you don't believe in the Bible, maybe you'll believe in the secular world history, which tells you how that Babylon was first empire, and then Medo-Persia, and then how the Greeks took over Alexander the Great. It's happened in world history, and then Rome was raised up. And Rome had to be in power to fulfill the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the first Caesar, Octavius, is the one that made a decree that all the Mediterranean countries should be taxed. Now, because of that, they had a tax payoff station over in Bethlehem of Judea, and Jesus, and his, to be born, he had to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, so only the Roman Empire had made that decree so that the Bible would be fulfilled, the Word of God would be fulfilled, that Mary and Joseph would go to pay taxes in Bethlehem of Judea, and that's where Jesus got born that night. Amen?
Amen.
So, and then also, only the Roman Empire. See, at Babylon, Babel, the Tower of Babel, that's where the rising of nations came. Not only was it different languages, but that's where nationalities began. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's why you have the Greeks and the Medo-Persians, which is the same as Iran today. Amen?
Amen.
And then you've got Alexander the Great, and then you've got you had Nebuchadnezzar first, because he was king of Babylon. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, I could go through world history, but, you know, it will really build your faith when you're reading world history and match it with the Bible, because it's identical. You know, and the people that wrote world history, they didn't pay any attention to the Bible. They just wrote it down like it was. Amen?
Amen.
And the disciples, the prophets, laid it down the way that the Lord gave it to them by the Holy Spirit. And if this isn't enough to quicken your soul and give you faith, I think that, you know, I'd love to check out the Bible when I first got saved through many different aspects to make sure that I was on the right track. And I can tell you that none of these... there's no other religion. There's not a religion in the world that is true, except there's no religion that can get your soul into heaven. Only Christ can do that, and the Bible points to it and states that He would be crucified, and only the Roman Empire crucified people. So God planned it that the Roman Empire should be in control at the time of Jesus' birth, so that He could be born in Bethlehem because of the taxes. And many other aspects, but I'm just going to mention a few, and that He would die on the cross, because this was the death penalty of Rome for the people that were rebellious people. And the Lord's penalty for rebellion is hell and the lake of fire. Now, if all the rest of the Bible is true, you should believe that if you're rebellious to the Word of God, and you don't want to go through the fire so that you become as gold, and you just can't stand, you know, you're just like a little Casper milk toast. I don't see how a guy could call himself a man. He says, I just bothered. Well, I finally learned to sleep through yelling and screaming. What am I going to do? Tell him, I just can't stand this prison now. You just let me out of here. I was there for 4 years. Then I went to a halfway house. It was not comfortable, but the Lord never promised me a bed of roses. He told me that I'm going to have to deny myself and take up the cross and follow him. Amen?
Amen.
I have to pick up the crucis, you know, the cross, right? Yes. The cross is not comfortable, being nailed to a cross, and to live a very narrow, to walk a narrow path, because there's so many temptations out in the world. You know, there's the devil has not only 31 flavors, he'll give you 3,100 billion flavors. You know, here, go do this, do that, do this. All these distractions, but you have to stay on the straight and narrow path in order to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Read world history if you want to check out the Bible and see if that isn't where the rising of nations came, the other tongues, all the different tongues, and so on. And this is where the Italians became into existence, the Norwegians, the Jews. And the Bible states that the Jews, that this in the Old Testament, that Jesus would be cut off, that he would hang on a tree. Amen?
Amen.
I think it's in the 21st chapter of Deuteronomy, where it says he'd be nailed to a tree. That's the symbolic of a cross, because trees are wood and so are crosses. Amen?
Amen.
And so the Bible says that he'd be cut off for the sins of the world. To those, but the Bible also says that if we believe that you're going to do what the Bible says, and Jesus, who is the Word of God, tells us to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. Do live the kind of life that he lived, in other words. Amen?
Amen.
And so this is what the Lord wants you to do. And he doesn't, you know, he's going to see how much you love him to see if you'll be able to put up with a door opening. Now look at the misery that the Lord went through in order to save your soul. And you, people that are so unthankful, can't stand it because there's a little discomfort in your life. And if you're not willing to take up the cross, you're going to anyway, because God will start putting you through the fire. If you do it willingly and cheerfully, there's a reward for you. But if you don't, it's going to be an ill reward, and the Lord also promises hell and the lake of fire. And you say, well, I heard this all my life and all that, and now I'm weary of well-doing. Now I want to go out and fornicate. I have a husband, but I want to go out and live like other people, free to be able to do, you know, have my freedom to do my will rather than to do the will of the Lord. And you can do that, cotton pickers. You know, do whatever your little pea-picking heart wants to do. But remember one thing, there is a reward, a price that you're going to have to pay for that. And you're not going to like it. And whether you try to remember it, you want to get that out of your mind during the day, because some of you people have sinned so bad, so much since you've been in the Lord, that the Lord has sent you strong delusions, and you believe a lie. You believe that you're still going to go to heaven. If I were you, I'd get down on my knees, and I'd be so thankful. I'd pray to God, please, Lord, forgive me, and keep saying that until he does forgive you. But I know that there's people, they call themselves the, what is that big group of people, the Watchers or something? What? Huh? The Promise Keepers. They move into hotels and stuff, and they say that there's more booze sold while they move in there than any other time. And they purchase more pornographic magazines in the newsstand when they move in. You people better stop it. Yeah, the Lord is very strict, and those that are really of the Lord are strict. And if you want to just do your own thing rather than what the Lord says, he says you've got a choice. You've got your will or the will of the Lord. Now choose who you're going to be the slave of or the servant of. You have to be a prisoner. I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to be his prisoner, and Satan wants you to be his prisoner. Now choose this day whom you would serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be the Lord's prisoner. because there's a great reward for that, and there is a horrible reward for being a prisoner of Satan. Okay, now what's next?
The next letter is from Tima, Ghana, Africa. Dearly beloved Pastor Tony, greetings in the precious name of our Almighty God and our Savior Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. How are you and your family? I hope fine. I am writing from Ghana, the Greater Accra region. I am very excited to tell you that I have at last accepted the Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ, as my personal Savior forever. Pastor, after reading through your literature, I know that I was formerly lost, and I was in the world of Satan, but now I have been found by reading your literature.
I was a prisoner of Satan, in other words, but now I am a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm saved, and I'm going to stay a prisoner of Him. I'm not going to get weary of being a prisoner of doing good. Weary not in well-doing. Amen?
Amen.
In doing good. Because just when you weary, it's the very, you might that same night die and go to hell. There's a story of over in Germany, I've told about this, where some Christians were hiding and everything, and they went and captured them, the Germans, the German Catholics. Because, you know, it was the Roman Catholics that put Christ to death. The Jews said, kill him, and they, the Romans, the Roman Catholics, actually were the ones that put him to death. And Rome has risen up, the Lord tells that Rome would rise up in these last days. And we see Rome's cruelty manifested in Nazi Germany. Hitler was studying to be a Catholic priest, if you will, and he hated all Jews. Well, they captured a bunch of Christian Jews, and they made them dig a great big pit, and then they were going to shoot them and cast their bodies into the pit. And so, after they dug the pit, they lined them all up and said, okay, you people, we're going to give you one last chance to leave Christ, to recant, or to be shot to death. And those of you that don't want Christ, you don't care about Him anymore because you want to live, come forward. And several of them came forward. And one of the German officers, there's a lot of them that stayed. And one of the German officers took his Nazi swastika off and his hat and threw it down, and he stood over there with the rest of the ones that were going to be killed. He wanted to be killed for Christ. At the very last second, he was saved. He had the zeal to follow Christ to the death. That's a very narrow walk, to accept death rather than this temporal life here, because you're all going to die, and I am too. And so when that happened, they killed every one of them, and the Nazi himself, and put him in that grave, and all the ones that stepped forward, they killed them too. So a lot of people think they're very slick, but it's really ironic, you know, the way that the Lord does. He wants to see people that are have fidelity for Him, that love Him even to the death of the cross. And some people are going to be weighed in the balances, and they've already been weighed in the balances, and they've been found wanting. They've already taken the mark of the world, the mark of this satanic world, the mark of the beast, in their hearts. And there's no way for them to pull out of it because they love the world too much. And they hate the Word of God so much because it tells them to walk the straight and narrow line. They want to walk the broad path, and the Bible says broad is the way to destruction. There's billions of ways that you can go to hell and the lake of fire, but there's only one way that you can get into the kingdom of heaven, and you have the free will to choose the way that you want to go. It's up to you. Okay, now you see some of these letters here are from people that just recently received salvation from my literature that the Lord gave me. It's the Lord. And they're going to be first. And some of you people that have been around the Christian realm for years, you're last. You're not going to make it in unless you make a radical change, that there's still a chance in your life to receive the truth and keep it, to cling unto it, the old rugged cross, unto the Lord Jesus Christ to the end, and care not for your own life, because only the life of God in Christ by the Spirit in you is going to be what is precious and valuable for you at the judgment bar of God or the mercy seat of Christ. Okay, let's hear what the rest of this letter is.
The reading of your literature has brought me to the Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ. As of now, I have no Bible, and if possible, send me one and also your booklets so that I can share them to people so that they will also be born-again Christians like me. If you will send me any other books that will help me to know more about the Almighty God and His Son, I will appreciate it. May the Almighty God anoint you with blessings. I would like to end here by yours sincerely, born-again Christian Emmanuel Enoki from Tema, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Beautiful letter. Amen.
Amen.
And put that on cool, okay, and just then maybe the fan will be off. We have a little heat problem here today, this evening, and I'm telling them to shut off the heat and put on the air conditioning and then turn the fan off so that it can't be heard on the tape here. All right? Now, that won't hurt your ears out there in Radio Land to hear the way, you know, we have the same problems that you all do in many ways, and sometimes more, but we've got Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're happy. And we are happy all the day. All right, then what?
From the next letter is from Livingstonia, Malawi, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Lamo, I greet you in the big holy name of our Lord, who is coming soon. I thank you for your ministries, for the miraculous work that the pastor is doing in sending me your last package of newsletters, Bibles, and your nice preaching tapes. When hearing them, it's as if I see you with my eyes as you are speaking on the pulpit in front of the people in a church.
That's wonderful. Now we don't have to go on television. Right? If you can just picture it, huh?
Amen.
Save a lot of money. Okay, then what else?
Since I have received your package, so many people have come to witness about the message that you do preach, and at last, each and every one had to ask me to write you for more cassettes and even Bibles, please. About 20 people have repented, and they are members of our group of hospitable Bible studies. They have come every week to listen to your cassette sermons, and they have prompted me to work, to read, and to pray for the ministries, so that God should give more power and encourage the whole ministries to pray for them.
Right, these messages are for you to learn how to live in this world. Now, if you just hear them, you know, for entertainment, that isn't going to do you any good. These messages are telling you how you must live in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. You must be like Christ. You must be exactly like Him. You say nobody can. Yes, you must be, because when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Spirit of God in Christ, by the Holy Spirit, enters your body, and you then have the power. The Bible calls it grace, but it's the power of God in you to be able to be exactly like Christ. As a matter of fact, you become a member of Christ's body. The corporate body of Christ. It's composed of many millions of people, just as the Antichrist is composed of many millions, many billions of people. The Antichrist is not one person, but it's a corporate body of many millions or billions of people. Okay, go ahead.
Among these people, there is also the chief who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and members of the staff, plus the hospital patients, by reading through your newsletters and magazines. Let me trouble you by asking God through prayers in the Lord's name to send me the following: an old cassette player to use during Bible study.
Send it to them. Then what else?
Holy Bibles for our Bible study group.
Send it to them. I'm sure you already have. Then what?
The Messiah books, a large print Bible, cassette tape box, and many tapes to be distributed to members of our Bible study group. Remember us in your daily prayers and give us to Jesus so that we be more encouraged to the words and be filled with the Holy Spirit. May God bless you all in all times of prayers. Looking forward to hearing from you, Pastor. Yours in Jesus' name, Walter Timothy Mafulika from Livingstonia, Malawi, Africa.
Praise the Lord. We're a worldwide, no-frills ministry. We have to become poor in spirit. The Lord loves those that have a broken spirit and a contrite heart in order to be able to please the Lord. That means totally void of our own will. And if we must become poor, you know, when you get too many things going in your life, there's too many diversions, and you're inclined to get your mind off the Lord and His Word and the things that we're really supposed to be doing. So many people, you see them into the websites and the internets and things like that, and there's just so many things that interest them. And they're not that interested in the Lord. And there's nothing that should interest you more than God. I mean, you've got to make Him chief. Otherwise, and if you seem to get your mind off the Lord, if I were you, I would quit what you're doing and trash it and just keep your mind on the Lord, because that's the only way you're going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. The human brain is only made out of dirt. It's not as big or intelligent or bright as you think you are. And just the Word of God that is infused into your mind on a daily basis is about all capacity that, or is all that your brain is capable of handling to stay saved one day at a time. So if anything is detracting you, distracting you from the Lord, get rid of it. It doesn't make any difference how precious those things are to this world. But the Lord's coming back to earth again, and, you know, who knows, you might go out to meet the Lord today. Maybe right after hearing this message. Maybe this evening when you're sound asleep and helpless in your sleep, and the Lord just comes. He sends the chief terrorist, the death angel, to you, and he calls your name and points his bony finger to you and tells you to come hither. And if he does, you will not be able to hold your soul inside your body, or to curl up in a fetal ball, or hide under the sheets, or anything. When the Lord comes after you, you're going to come when He tells you. And so we have to, the best insurance policy in the entire world is to make yourself ready to meet Him. And that is, let's get on the straight and narrow path. Get your mind to where it's not broad as the ocean all over the world and all these different activities. If God is cursing a nation or a city, as He has done with the tsunami over in Indonesia and those other countries along the shoreline and over here recently with New Orleans and the different cities along the shore there in Mississippi and so on, Alabama. Well, you know, that isn't going to change things for you to just be concentrated on that. It's much more interesting for you. If they need help, help them. But keep your mind on the Lord, because that's your only help. And look in the Bible to see that God has promised that these things would happen to people that are going to have these large homosexual parades, which God hates, and that exalt homosexuality and sin. I've never seen anything so evil as people shooting rescue workers that are rescuing people. That has to be one of the most sinful cities I've ever seen in my life. Yes, God will destroy the homosexuals and the lesbians if they don't repent. And also the pimps and the prostitutes and the liars and the thieves. Some people think it's okay to lie. And the people that are not strict. God is strict. In order to please Him, we must be strict. We must take power and dominion over our own selves. We must be willing to make ourselves to walk by the Holy Spirit. This is what the Lord tells us to do. It's you may find that a very problematic thing, but getting into the kingdom of heaven is the most important thing. Not going to college, not listening to television or radio or anything, but the main thing is to prepare yourself to meet your Lord, because none of us have a guarantee that we're going to live another day, but you have a guarantee that you're going to die, and you don't know when. Unless you just take your own life, and if you do that, you'll be in hell and the lake of fire as well for murdering your own self, because your body doesn't belong to you, it belongs to the Lord. And a person that does that disobeys that commandment to be to continue on till the end, until the day that the Lord takes you. So if you break one commandment, you've broken them all. That shows that you don't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because you're not listening to Him. He says, no suicide, no murder. Suicide is murder. Abortion is first-degree murder also. You stop doing what you're doing. Accept the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do what that says, and then you'll be saved. Okay, what else? That's it now with the letters? So, okay, let's start with the 27th chapter of Matthew with its 66 verses. Go ahead.
Judas hangs himself, verse 1.
See, he committed suicide. And some people say, well, he repented. Well, if he did, then which he didn't. You can't repent after you sell the Lord down the drain. But if he did, then he went and committed suicide, which he murdered himself, so that he'd still go to hell for that. Okay?
Amen.
So, and no matter if you go left, you're going to hell, and if you go right, you got to stay straight on the straight and narrow. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Verse 1. Very early in the morning, the leading priests and other leaders met again to discuss how to persuade the Roman government to sentence Jesus to death. Verse 2. Then they bound him and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Verse 3. When Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. So he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priests and other leaders.
You know, if you go on, if you're after you're saved, he was saved. He was actually healing people. He was raising people from the dead. You read the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, and you see these are things that the Lord had commissioned the disciples to do, and they were doing it. And he was doing all the things that all the other disciples did, but then the Bible states that Satan entered into him. Okay, if Satan enters into you, you can't go to heaven. God is going to let you, your spirit that has accepted Satan, to go to heaven. You might as well forget about it. That's your own mind, your own will. The mind of Christ is His Word. The mind of God is the Word of God. So you can't get around that. It's so high you can't get over, so low you can't get under, it's so wide you can't get around it. You've got to come in the straight and narrow way, the door. And Christ is the door into the kingdom of heaven. Okay? There's no other way. The Bible says there is no other name given among men whereby you must be saved but the name of Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Any man attempting to get into heaven any other way than the Bible explains, they're like a thief and a robber trying to get into the kingdom of heaven. There's not going to be any thief or robber in heaven. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 4, quote, I have sinned, unquote, he declared.
Yes, you have. And the Bible says right after that, that it would be better, it says in the Bible that it would be better that he had never been born, because then he wouldn't have to spend eternity burning and in all the torments that are in the hell and the lake of fire. It would be better that you'd never been born, because you're having fun now on this side of eternity by just doing your own thing. Oh, it's so wonderful to be free. Youth, is the actual life's summertime to just, I remember when I was young and didn't know anything, oh, I would just run and play and look at everything in the world, and I was so happy in the sunshine, I was so thrilled, and when it would snow in Montana, Yeah, it was so wonderful. I go out and make snowmen and throw snowballs. I have snowball fights with people, and if they were bad, I'd take them down and rub their face in the snow. And it was so fun, you know, being a little weasel like I was. And I used to like ski and do sledding, and it's just I wasn't thinking at all about the Lord. Not at all about the Lord. Ice skating, roller skating, hiking up in the mountains. Oh, it is so wonderful to be free from having to be denying myself and carrying a cross. Even to this day, I would like to fly to Europe and get on the QE2 or the new Queen Mary and just take a cruise around the world. And the Bible says people will be doing that in the last days, just before Christ comes back to earth, just before this world is turned into an inferno. It's just like in the days of Noah when the flood came. People be eating, drinking, giving one another in marriage. And just, you see so many of these programs that tell you the different recipes, you know, delicious foods and all these things. That's just what it's into now. And that people would be into sports. Why, sports would be held in high esteem and Christ would be held in low esteem. Everybody is so want to be so strong and healthy and eating the proper foods. They just found out that vitamin A causes 67% more cancer in lungs, and that vitamin E is lethal. Oh my, what can the matter be? Johnny, so long at the fair. You know, you people are so highly intelligent out there. No, you're not. The Lord says to do all things in moderation, you know, eating and so on. Don't be a glutton. You see all these people are having their stomachs stapled together. The stomachs, God never made them to be held together with staples, you know. You haven't got any willpower to just put a knife to your throat and don't eat so much. Okay? Then what?
Quote, "For I have betrayed an innocent man," unquote.
Yes. See, betrayal is the same as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Because you betray God, you pompous maniac. Okay, then what?
Quote, "What do we care," unquote, they retorted. Quote, "That is your problem," unquote.
See, that's what the secular world said to him. And if you get put out of the church, that's what the secular world is going to say to you. What do we care? But I was horny, and I wanted to have sex. And the female or the male that you have sex with says, "What do we care, man? But I'm going to hell. What do we care?" And God saw that you didn't care, and so therefore you're going to hell too. So you got God against you, and the world out there doesn't care anything about you. You think Satan likes you?
No.
He wants your soul to go to hell. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so be you know, don't fall for that. If a person takes a bottle of poison and puts real nice cellophane, colored cellophane around it, and ties a nice ribbon on it, and gives it to you and tells you it's good to drink, you better sniff it first before you drink it, amen?
Amen.
The person that gives it to you sample it first, like the president does. You know, he has everybody moving the plates around the table, then finally he says, "Okay, stop!" And then he'll eat the food, and if it was contaminated or poisoned, somebody down the line there will, their face will fall into the pumpkin pie. Okay, then what?
Verse 5. Then Judas threw the money onto the floor of the temple and went out and hanged himself. Verse 6. The leading priests picked up the money, quote, "We can't put it in the temple treasury," unquote, they said, quote, "since it's against the law to accept money paid for murder," unquote.
Yeah, see, one of the people in our church decided to betray the people in this church and tried to get the church stopped. And all of a sudden the Lord showed him what he did, that he's going to hell, and so he put a gun to his head and blew his brains out. He left the church, and we got word of it. He was so depressed and so full of anguish that he committed suicide. And, you know, the Bible proves itself true all the time. And we've seen so many people that have come against God's work that have just died horrible deaths. One of them, she was going to do the same thing, and she just wanted to live a frivolous life. And so one day she wanted lots of men. She went up in an air balloon with three men, and they're way up in the sky, and somehow, I don't know how, but the air went out of the balloon, and the thing came crashing down thousands of feet, and she became a grease spot on the pavement. And so, you know, you can't get around God. You're not going to, God isn't going to have mercy on you if you betray your brothers and sisters, if you betray God, the ministry. If you think you can get away with something, well, then you're extraordinarily stupid. You're not bright. Okay, then what?
Verse 7. After some discussion, they finally decided to buy the potter's field, and they made it into a cemetery for foreigners. Verse 8. That is why the field is still called, quote, the field of blood, unquote. Verse 9. This fulfilled the prophecy of Jeremiah that says, quote, they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of which he was valued by the people of Israel. Verse 10, and purchased the potter's field as the Lord directed, unquote. Jesus' trial before Pilate, verse 11. Now Jesus was standing before Pilate, the Roman governor, quote,
see, there it is, the Roman Empire. And now the Roman Empire is raised up again in these last days to fulfill the prophecy that Rome would take over the entire world. And the leader is empowered, the Bible says, by the spirit of Satan, the Antichrist. You know, Satan is against Christ, Antichrist. And people that don't go along with the Bible have taken the spirit of Antichrist. You have to discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. You must make yourself. It's a chore that you have to do yourself. God is not going to discipline you to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. You have to choose to serve the Lord. You have to choose to discipline yourself to walk the straight and narrow. Okay, then what?
Quote, are you the king of the Jews, unquote, the governor asked him. Jesus replied, quote, yes, it is as you say, unquote. Verse 12, but when the leading priests and other leaders made their accusations against him, Jesus remained silent. Verse 13, quote, don't you hear there are many charges against you, unquote, Pilate demanded. Verse 14, but Jesus said nothing, much to the governor's great surprise. Verse 15, now it was the governor's custom to release one prisoner to the crowd each year during the Passover celebration, anyone they wanted. Verse 16.
Now Passover started in Egypt, where the Lord says, if I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And so he had all the people on the night that God was going to do, that God delivered Israel out of Egypt. He had them kill a baby lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and on the mantle, and then set the basin on the floor. And they'd take a hyssop, which is very prominent in that area. It's very available. And they dip it in that bowl of blood on the ground, which is where the blood dripped down. And they put it on the doorpost and on the mantle up above. It's a sign of the cross. And so if they would do that, the Lord says, I will pass over you. I will not kill you. But if you don't, I'm going to kill the firstborn. The death angel is going to come and kill the firstborn of every family. And he's going to do that with the Egyptians, too. He told them, he gave them a chance. And even Pharaoh's son, the firstborn, died that night. And that's when Pharaoh finally told him to leave. Get out. Get out of here. We don't want any more of these curses. But even when they left, he decided to go after them again. And that's when his entire army drowned in the Red Sea. Okay, then what?
Verse 16. This year there was a notorious criminal in prison, a man named Barabbas. Verse 17. As the crowds gathered before Pilate's house that morning, he asked, quote, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Unquote. Verse 18. He knew very well that the Jewish leaders had arrested Jesus out of envy. Verse 19. Just then, as Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent this message, quote, "Leave that innocent man alone, because I had a terrible nightmare about him last night." Unquote. Verse 20. Meanwhile, the leading priests and other leaders persuaded crowds to ask for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be put to death. Verse 21. So when the governor asked again, quote, "Which of these two do you want me to release to you?" the crowds shouted back the reply, quote, "Barabbas!" Unquote.
That was the worst mistake they could have ever made. Well, I see that our time for this hour program is over. There's around 3 minutes left, and the radio stations like us to leave them a minute and a half in the front and a minute and a half on the back. So what we're going to do is continue this message tomorrow, which will have the commentary and all the different other things that I've mentioned. So until then, God bless you and praise the Lord.